There are two main ways to take advantage of government policies to save for retirement: the Registered Retirement Savings Plan, the established player that's been around for 50 years, and the tax-free savings account, the relative newcomer. Today, we're going to make the case for the TFSA, potentially the better choice for at least two segments of the population, those with a low income and those with a defined benefit pension plan. Matt Ardrey is a VP and wealth advisor with TriDelta Financial, and he joins us now. Hello, Matt.
Good afternoon, Bruce.
Hello there. So in two sentences, maybe you could take three, identify the key differences between RSPs and TFSAs just to set the groundwork for us.
Sure. So one of the key differences is an RSP gives you a deduction going in and is taxable when it comes out. A TFSA does not give you a deduction when it goes in, and it's not taxable when it comes out. TFSA is completely tax-free in terms of its growth, because obviously the withdrawals have no tax implications, where the RSP I would consider more to be tax-deferred, because you will still pay tax on that growth at one point when you do the withdrawal.
The two groups we're going to focus on where the TFSA makes particular sense is low income and DB pensions. Let's start with lower income. Why does the TFSA often make more sense for this group than the RRSP?
Sure. So the first thing is you're not – they don't often need the same sort of tax deductions on the way in. So if they're lower income in the first place, their tax brackets are marginal tax brackets are lower, thus that the RSP deduction has less value for them than someone who's in a higher tax bracket. Conversely, when they're withdrawing it out, the RSP becomes taxable income in retirement. And depending on how low their income is, it could affect OAS clawback, though that number is much higher than what we would probably typically consider someone low income. But really where it does impact is on the GIS, which is the Guaranteed Income Supplement.
When we talk about low income in this context, what is the sort of threshold that, you know, some people who live in downtown Toronto may be making great money compared to a rural community, you know, in another province, but not be low income in this context? What's the threshold?
Sure. So I'll give you the GIS threshold. So the GIS threshold considers your net income, which is line 236 on your tax return, if you're ever so inclined to look it up. And then what you do is you subtract what you're paid in GIS, what you receive in OAS, and you get up to about $3,500 of employment income that you can subtract from that number as well. If you're a single person and your numbers, all those numbers add up to about less than $17,500, then you're eligible to receive GIS. As a couple, about $23,000. So it is definitely on the lower end.
And that's what's going on with you in retirement. But as a working person, say you're 40 years old, say you're the sole income earner in a family, what would be the framework that you would say, TFSA probably makes more sense than an RSP? Is it 40 grand? Is it 50 grand? What would be the number there, just as a broad rule of thumb?
Sure. So when we're looking at, and I'll use Ontario because that's where I'm living right now. So the first tax bracket takes you all the way up to $42,200. So that's taxing your income at just a little over 20%. And even going up to $45,000, $46,000, it's only at 24%. So really, you really need to start pushing that up to at least get, 30 cents back on the dollar for your RSP deduction. And then the question is when you hit retirement, what is your income situation going to look like then? Is this RSP going to push you over the edge in terms of what you're receiving, maybe with CPP, OAS, any other sources of income? Is it going to cause that GIS or something else to be clawed back for you? Or will you even be in a higher tax bracket than you are today?
The TFSA comes in two forms. It can be a simple savings account where really it's just money, like a regular savings account. And it also could be an investing account. Would you suggest that the latter, the investing account, be a better choice?
It is if you're using it for retirement. So the way I look at it is the same way I would look at any sort of savings. If you're going to want to save for your vacation next year and you're just putting money away for a very short-term goal, then having a traditional savings account makes sense. And if you have nothing else in terms of you have a maximum amount of TFSA room, as I'm trying to say here, putting that money in there because you're going to get taxed on the interest income anyways makes sense. If you're looking at it, though, long term, definitely having an investment account with, a strategy in place to, sort of grow your money makes a lot more sense than earning, the paltry interest rates that exist today.
One of the big disadvantages for the TFSA, in my view, is that it's quite easy to take the money out. With an RSP, there's withholding, there's all sorts of negatives to taking the money out that can act as a disincentive that don't exist for the TFSA. How do you reduce the risk that the money is going to be pulled out prematurely if indeed it is intended for retirement? It's a temptation for anyone, but for a lower income person, it could be a real need. And that would be very difficult to not take the money out early.
Absolutely. And you know what the thing is that the answer is there is nothing to stop them. Mm. There is nothing that will turn around and say, oh, you can't do that. Because if a crisis comes up, it doesn't matter if you're low income or high income and you need to access the money that, you were hoping to save for the future, but you need to access it now because of medical emergency or whatever other crisis you're dealing with. That's what you're going to go after. And there's times that people even access the money out of an RRSP and, have to have additional penalties and taxes. The only good thing about the TFSA is that whatever you take out, the next year you can start contributing back to it comes back.
If this money really is for retirement, which is the context for our conversation, how would a low-income person build the best portfolio for them? Say they're 40, they got 25 years till they're going to be accessing that money. What are the building blocks to that portfolio?
Really, I would try to be looking at, just sort of low-cost investments, design an asset mix that they're comfortable with. If it's 25 years, you might want to do a 25% equity, 25% fixed income asset mix, and then review it every year and just sort of rebalance back to those targets. One of the other ways that really works great is if they can do some sort of pre-authorized automatic contribution, so where it's comes out of your bank account and into your TFSA savings before you even get a chance to touch it. The whole sort of pay yourself first.
Now, the second group that I highlighted is people with a defined benefit pension plan. Why does a TFSA often make more sense for them than an RRSP?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one is they don't often have a lot of RRSP room. The pension adjustment, by virtue of them having a DB pension plan, takes away a lot of their RRSP room. Second, the pension is already coming out as taxable income, so they already have a large source, potentially, of taxable income being received in retirement. And if you add RRSP income on top of that, it's going to be taxed at an even potentially higher marginal rate. Versus the TFSA, the money comes out, no taxes payable.
One last question. Some people do have the resources to have both an RRSP and a TFSA. For people in that circumstance, what type of assets should go in each? Because their treatment tax-wise is different.
Well, if you just have the RRSP and the TFSA, that's one thought. If you also have a non-registered investment account, then we're starting to look at some other things in terms of tax efficiency.
Yeah.
With RRSPs, it's often good to, you can tax shelter fixed income investments, which generate interest income. TFSA, I really try to put as much equities in as possible. A simple reason is I want that account to be as big as possible by the time it hits retirement because all the money comes out tax-free. The one caveat that I do tell clients is if you have withholding tax on a dividend, let's say you own shares of, Microsoft or something, and they withhold the 15% tax, there's no way to recover that. Mm. So if you have it in a non-registered investment, you'll get the foreign tax credit, which you can use against your Canadian taxes. If it's in an RRSP, that's recognized by the states and they don't withhold. But in a TFSA, there's no mechanism for that. That being said, you still have all the growth that offsets it, and foreign dividends typically aren't as high as Canadian dividends.
Right. Matt, thanks for your perspective on this.
You're welcome.
Matt Ardrey is VP and Wealth Advisor with TriDelta Financial.